What's going on? It's a beautiful day to talk about women's health. You're listening to the Strong and Beautiful podcast, where we talk about the things you want to know that your providers might not have the time to tell you. All topics covered in these talks are not to be taken as medical advice, and if you have any questions, always contact your medical provider first. So, let's get started. I am joined here by Dr. Melissa Massani, owner of Full Circle Pelvic Health and a wonderful friend of mine. Melissa, how are you today?
Hi, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me here. I am doing great. You know, any day is a great day to talk about pelvic floor stuff. So I'm really excited to be here.
I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, if you ever want to go get coffee, go to a bar and just sit down and talk about the vagina, I am your girl. I am your girl. Today is going to be a fun episode because we are talking about pelvic floor equipment, tools that you see on TV, that you see that a friend has that pop up on your social media feeds, and you're like, what the heck is this? And do I need it? I will say, more often than not, the answer might be no, you don't need it, but if you could. And so we're going to talk about what some of those tools are, what they look like, what they feel like, whether they are appropriate for you. And we'll start off with an easy one, vaginal weights. So, Melissa, how do you feel about vaginal weights?
Well, it's always so interesting that when we start talking to our friends about our own problems and our phones are around, but that it does send you this magical solution that pops up on your phone and you're like, how do they know?
Right? I feel like that's going to happen the moment I open my phone after our conversation.
Everybody check your phones after and see what pops up. So vaginal weights are a good one. I think a lot of people tend to buy vaginal weights on their own accord. You know, they're not getting the recommendation necessarily from their doctor. They're maybe doing their own research online and they're kind of getting that information. You know, out of curiosity, like maybe I need to strengthen, maybe I need vaginal weights. And there is a plethora of vaginal weights out there, which is kind of nice. I mean, I remember back in the day, our vaginal weights were triangular.
What?
Yes, they were triangular.
No, thank you.
So they were like a cone, you know, like a little cone. And you added like weight to it. I think you twisted it in there or something like that. And then you put the thing on and then you inserted it. So I think vaginal weights and it was hard plastic.
Ooh.
So, yeah. And so I think vaginal weights have really, you know, gotten fancy over the years, which is really nice. You know, they're definitely softer. They're more egg shaped or cone, you know, a better cone shape, you know, all the way around. And then there's more of a variety of weight graduations, you know, and I think like before, you know, in our set, it used to be like six. And I think now there a lot of times you can get anywhere from like three to six or even more. So I kind of like that. And then I know the ones that we used to have, there was none, you know, they would just drop out because there was no thing to pull them out. So those are the ones I remember from, I'm going to date myself, but 20 years ago at our clinic. But now, you know, you have that little tail that sits there and you can easily just pop it out. So I definitely think when it comes to that for, as an option for us for training pelvic floors, it's definitely come a long way. What are your thoughts?
Well, for anyone who hasn't seen a vaginal weight, doesn't really know what it is, imagine like a weighted tampon is kind of what it's like. You insert it, you hold it in there using your pelvic floor strength, try and prevent it from coming out. And then it's got a little string on it to help get it out. Like Melissa said, that design has really come a long way over the years. So I think I agree, you know, the design really has made it easier to use. It's made it very user-friendly. Definitely better than the yoni eggs that we've seen in the past.
Oh, I feel like yoni yoni.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I feel like everyone's got one hiding in their nightstand where they bought it and they never used it. So it's come a long way, but you know, is it necessary, right? I think when people start having bladder leakage or prolapse, they immediately without even hesitation, jump to this conclusion that they have this extremely weak pelvic floor and they feel like they need to bombard it with strengthening with hundreds of Kegels a day and vaginal weights to try and overload those muscles and build up as much strength as possible. So I guess what I want listeners to hear is that the case? If they're having leakage, is that the case and they need to jump into vaginal weights? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, when it comes to who would be appropriate for using vaginal weights, you know, I obviously it's a, you know, a personal exploration kind of thing, but I think for your listeners, you know, if you are feeling a change in your strength, you know, maybe there was one point when you've done Kegels randomly and you're like, oh yeah, my strength's pretty good. And then you just went on living, you know, life. And then, you know, maybe, you know, it's a few years later now and you started an exercise class and you notice that when you would jump and land, you're leaking a little bit. Maybe if you're postpartum, same thing, you're feeling sensory wise, you feel like your squeeze is not the way it used to be. BC, I always say BC before children. but so, you know, those, in those cases, the vaginal weights could be appropriate, but it's hard to know 100% for sure, like if it's definitely the weakness that you're experiencing and then that's causing things like leakage. So in physical therapy for pelvic floor, you know, when we evaluate our patients, we're looking at, you know, how well they can contract their muscles, how much recruitment they have, and then their sensation. Like, can they actually feel themselves contract? Can they feel themselves relax? And do they relax completely? And or do they really have to struggle to lift up that Kegel? So I don't know. I think it's hard to say, like, just without seeing a patient, you know, who's appropriate for it. But I think it's really important to know it's an option.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably to say using vaginal weights, if you so choose, is probably not harmful to you. There's, right, you know, probably minimal harm to it. But, you know, identifying whether you truly are a good candidate for them would probably be the first step rather than just going online and buying them. So, you know, getting a more formal pelvic floor exam to know for sure, yes, weakness is your issue versus maybe something else, would at least be in your best interest to then say, okay, I'm definitely a good candidate. Now I can buy them and try them.
I agree with that too. And the other thing is when, you know, I think if you, first of all, as long as you know how to do a Kegel correctly, right? So that's number one. So as long as they know how to do a Kegel correctly, and then if you are trying to fit it into your like daily activities, maybe, you know, so maybe you're like, okay, I'm going to spend, you know, a few minutes in the car doing Kegels at the light. If you're trying to do that a couple of times a week, maybe three or four times a week, and you're trying to do that for a couple of weeks in a row, and you notice some change in your control, then that's good. Keep on that track. You know, it's sounds like it's working for you if those are your results. But if you're doing the Kegels and you're sure you're doing them right, and you've been really at it and you're not overdoing it either, and you still find it's challenging to stay dry, then, you know, that's when maybe it could be the weights that would be a good introduction into that program. And so what ends up happening is those weights just adds a little extra challenge to those muscles. But the most important thing, I think, besides the weight, I mean, when we think of vaginal weights, of course, we're thinking of the weight of the object. I think it's really an important biofeedback sensory tool, because now your muscles are resisting against something in there, you know, versus when we're doing right, a Kegel, sometimes it feels like we're just like squeezing muscle. But, you know, do I feel a lift? Do I feel something squeeze? I know that those things are what I'm supposed to feel. But then when you put a weight inside, you're actually feeling yourself lift against something. You're pulling something up.
Right.
And so yep, that biofeedback could be very helpful. So that's kind of why I think using vaginal weights can be very appropriate. And, you know, it can also help to down train people too. So a lot of people don't think about that, you know, as long as pelvic pain is not involved, but if some people have a hard time with coordinating their pelvic floor, you can work on lifting up the weight, but then really focus on the relaxation of the weight. So dropping the weight on like I'll have patients just sit in the chair and just pick up the marble and I call it the marble, sorry. And then just drop it down and just kind of pay attention to that drop, that let go. Wouldn't necessarily do that in standing as much though, simply because I feel like their muscles will definitely be over on, but when they're in a resting position in the chair, you could use it in that sense. So it is kind of good to get, again, biofeedback, sensory awareness. Some people just really need to have that thing there to kind of gauge their range of motion per se for that muscle.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because a lot of people, I mean, it's a very unknown area, the pelvic floor, and everyone thinks they've been doing Kegels correctly for 15, 20 years. And then you add, you know, a vaginal weight to it, and it would completely change it, because you have that stimulation of squeezing around something and holding something and releasing something. I totally agree.
Releasing something. Right. So yeah. So learning to kind of feel that drop, you know, that's, or even a stretch, like it could even help kind of like stretch too a little bit on the way down.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay. So vaginal weights could be helpful.
Yep.
Or could be something you don't even need. So.
Right. Especially if they already have it too, you know, so some people already have weights. They're like, oh, I spent money on this and I was doing it. So what we want to do is explain that, you know, you have the equipment. Let's, instead of using it for strengthening, let's do it for relaxation, or let's work on relaxing. And then we're going to add that strengthening back in. So if you do choose to purchase vaginal weights, and then you find out that it's maybe not the right thing for you at this moment, it doesn't mean that it won't be helpful down the line. You know, there just might be a few more steps in your care. You're in your pelvic rehab that you might need to take first. Before you implement the Kegels, the weights. But just one point before we move on, I think sometimes the directions on how to use them or the perception of how to use them is kind of askew, because, you know, things that I hear my patients say, they're like, oh, you know, I thought you're supposed to just put the vaginal weight in and walk around and try to vacuum your living room with it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
No, nope.
So they're not wrong. I definitely think if you want, you know, extremely strong pelvic floor muscle groups, you might want to do that. But, you know, our bodies don't need that much. Our pelvic floor, I should say, not our bodies, but our pelvic floor, you know, may not need that much training. So I think that becomes an issue when we really, when patients or clients are getting the waist, but I don't know how well they're educated on what to do with them once they have them in there. Like, what do you recommend with your clients?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think you always have to take the instructions with a grain of salt when it's not coming directly from your medical provider. I always tell my clients that you wouldn't train your bicep necessarily like people currently train their pelvic floor. So like doing bicep curls at a red light, right? No one keeps a dumbbell in their passenger seat, stops, does a few bicep curls, and then goes about their day. So, you know, you train your pelvic floor like you train any other muscle in your body. So when you're using the vaginal weights, to not be thinking about housework and trying to move around and stressed and thinking about the next thing you need to do, but to treat it like a workout and to actually be sitting and relaxed, to feel that full range of motion with that vaginal weight, or lying down or standing, but being still or going through some form of exercise with that, whatever is prescribed, you know, trying to do it with a squat or a lunge. You know, that all makes sense, but to just do it in a proper, controlled manner versus just trying to fit it into your day in the crazy life that we have as human beings.
Right. I mean, because things are pretty slippery, so you never know where that's going to fall out. So,
So, you don't want to fall down at the grocery store, that's for sure.
nope.
All right, so let's move on. Let's move on to a fun one. How about the Thigh Master? Melissa, what are your thoughts on the Thigh Master?
Oh my goodness. So the Thigh Master, I wish I'd known that you wanted to talk about that, because I would have looked up how old, or how, I shouldn't say how old, how long has the Thigh Master been around? I should ask Google that. But I'm back in the day from Suzanne Somers. I'm not sure if all your listeners will even know who that is, but Suzanne Somers basically, I don't want to say she founded the, or maybe she did find the founded the Thigh Master. So she's an actress and very talented person, but also a fitness guru. So she really loved being fit and healthy. And she really, in addition to Jane Fonda, she really paved the way for women in fitness. And she was, I want to say, the one who really brought the Thigh Master to kind of our eyes, and somehow the Thigh Master metamorphed to being something to use with Kegels. But the problem is, the Thigh Master is this, I don't even know how to explain it, but this kind of cone-shaped, large, probably 8 to 12 in, maybe 8 to 10 inches worth of two pieces of plastic put together, and this spring in the middle, God forbid you pinch anything, that you put between your knees and you use your inner thighs. But yes, the Thigh Master is specifically for increasing strength in your thighs, which, as an isometric exercise, I can see the validity in that. But for pelvic floor, it's a crossover. You actually have to engage your pelvic floor muscles and then squeeze the Thigh Master at the same time for it to really be effective. But again, when it comes to messaging, was that discussed in the past? The Thigh Master is still around today. I literally had a patient bring one in to me about 5 years ago, and she's like, "Is this any good for me?" And we talked about how to, she explained that it pinched her inner thigh, and I was like, "Oh dear. Let's take a look at how you're doing this." And so I watched her do it, and she's like, "It's really hurting, And she actually felt worse doing it. So clearly, we decided to table that particular device. But I can see the validity in using it to strengthen your inner thighs if you need to do that. There's definitely other ways to do it. They're around $20. Would that be something I ever recommend my patients? No.
I would have to agree. So, what you're saying is the Thighmaster will help with strengthening the pelvic, sorry, the inner thighs, but does not necessarily strengthen the pelvic floor.
Right. So you would have to make sure that you're able to squeeze your pelvic floor muscles, or engage your pelvic floor muscles and the inner thighs at the same time on this very hard plastic thing against this very firm spring for it to be probably effective. And I think that's where the issue is. It's very hard, and the spring is very, yeah. So it's, I'd
It's
say
not
I would
easy.
pass. Maybe that's what we should do. We should say, keep it or pass.
We're gonna put a
I would give
pass
it a
on
hard
that one.
pass, or an easy.
Yeah, because I would say, if you have to be able to do a Kegel, right, a pelvic floor contraction, while you're squeezing the Thighmaster. Melissa, what percentage of people, to your best guess, what percentage of people that you see in your office right off the bat, without instruction, know how to do a Kegel correctly?
I would probably say, I think it's definitely improving. I do want to say that. But I still want to say it's between 40 and 50%. So I still feel, I think 40% of patients do it correctly, first pass. 50% of the patients don't think they can do it correctly. So, or that number could be even higher. Maybe it's like more like 70% of my patients feel like they don't know how to do it correctly from the get-go.
Right. And so, you know, when it comes to this piece of equipment that you see on TV and you buy it, you say, yeah, I could do this. I could do Kegels. I could do the Thighmaster. And they're just kind of going off of their own intuition. They're not having a provider say, yes, this is correct.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, you know, we run the issue of creating more issues if these things are not used correctly.
You know, but the downside to that too, if that's not down enough, is that we just don't have the resources. We don't have that information. Like I don't know how often even equipment is brought up at the primary care visit. I don't know how often any kind of, you know, resources for pelvic floor stuff is brought up in the GYN visit. You know, so those are definitely opportunities. And granted, it's not an easy and quick conversation by any means. But, you know, I mean, if I were to look at least those two products that we just talked about, I would say that, you know, a doctor could say, well, oh, if your pelvic muscles seem, you know, feel weak, you could try weights, you know, and, you know, maybe have a handout for the patient to give them a try. You know, but again, like we're on our own trying to figure this stuff out.
Right. You know,
unless we get referred to a physical therapist or occupational therapist or whoever, you know, is treating pelvic floor therapy. Other than that, we're really searching on our own. So.
Right. So, and that's tough. It's tough to figure this out on your own when there's already not enough information to research out there. So, okay. All right. So Melissa, let's move on to the MCELA. So the MCELA, for those who don't know, is a stool that you sit on, you pay to sit on it, and it sends like electromagnetic waves into your pelvic floor, right? To try to help strengthen your pelvic floor. So you literally don't have to do anything except sit on this stool. Hmm. What are your thoughts there, Melissa?
The concept sounds amazing. Just sit on a stool, read a book. That sounds lovely. I wonder, you know, how does it feel? I don't know. So, and why is it thousands of dollars? So tell me more about it. I mean, is it vibration, the electromagnetic current? Is it, are you vibrating? Like what?
And I don't even know too much about it. To my knowledge, you don't feel anything. I think they do instruct you that you can do Kegels while you're on it. So it's high intensity focused electromagnetic energy that stimulates and strengthens the pelvic floor muscles. So basically you go see a gynecologist or whatever doctor has this piece of equipment, you tell them that you're having bladder leakage or prolapse, and they, you know, say yes or no to whether or not you're a good fit for the MCELA. And then you pay for a certain amount of sessions to go there, sit on the stool for a certain amount of time, which I'm not sure how long that typically is, and hope that your symptoms resolve.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think with any new technology that comes out that is supportive of strengthening, you know, whether it's, I know that they use like vibration kind of platforms to kind of strengthen the whole body. And then the electromagnetic, I know that it's really starting to gain popularity in the medical device arena. So that's exciting. I think the research studies are definitely out there that does say that there is some improvement in pelvic floor outcomes with using these kinds of devices. So I definitely don't think it's something that we pass on right away. I also think that when there's medical devices like this available and being utilized, you know, everybody has their preference of how they want to, you know, manage their pelvic floor issues, particularly incontinence. I want to say that this particular device is specific for incontinence, but I'm not 100% sure if prolapse is also part of that, or fecal incontinence is also part of that. But so I think the more research comes out about it, and the more we see good results, you know, I think, you know, maybe we'll see them more, but I also think the price might come down more too. You know, I think when it's new, you know, they just charge an exorbitant amount for whatever reason. I don't understand why, but I mean, I know that the cost of the devices are expensive, but still, I think you're right. I think it's usually, you know, $500 to $1,000 a pop. I don't know. I think it's to be determined.
Yeah, I think, you know, my biggest concern is, what does the screening look like for the Amsella, right? Mm-hmm. So how are you being identified as the right candidate for the Amsella? Because from the minimal feedback that I have received from clients on it is that I've actually had clients come away from it feeling worse. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I don't think this is one that we should totally pass on, because there is no question that there is valid research behind electromagnetic waves to help with strengthening muscle, right? I mean, we've been using e-stim in physical therapy for decades. So we know that that is a valid source for building muscle contraction and building muscle strength. But not everyone has purely a weakness issue, like I said before, you know, with the vaginal weights. So if I were to come across someone who was purely experiencing pelvic floor and bladder leakage because of pelvic floor weakness, and they had the financial means and desire to do the Amsella, it would probably be a really great fit for them yeah. to get a fairly quick solution to their leakage, given that that is what's going on. They had a proper internal exam from a pelvic floor therapist to say, yes, it is purely weakness. You are a good candidate. But if people are not getting that really in-depth internal exam, I mean, you know just as well as I do, Melissa, that a lot of people get bladder leakage with urgency because of muscle tightness. And so I've had some clients who tried the Amsella come away actually feeling worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not sure how often they're getting, I mean, let's just be honest. I think these are devices that are used in the urology and the gynecology office, right? So I think that that's where we're seeing these devices, which is totally fine. But I'm not sure, you know, yeah, exactly. Like, are they being evaluated? So is the doctor evaluating them before? I would assume yes, I'm hoping. But somebody should not be walking away feeling worse. So that means there's a little discrepancy in how this machine is utilized for certain patients, you know, and I would hope that they're using some kind of a survey, you know, of their symptoms before and after, just to kind of determine that. And, you know, sometimes urinary leakage is actually related to hormones. And so it has something to do with strength. So I would just want to be sure, if I was a client looking for help in reducing my leakage, that, you know, I would be evaluated to the point where you're taking everything into consideration. So you're taking my strength, my birthing history, my, you know, overall health, my status of my hormones, and, you know, and then making that decision whether it's good for me or not, not just whether I leak or I don't leak.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I always wonder how much could they see in an improvement in the results with the Amsella if each client was examined by a pelvic floor therapist first, mm-hmm. you know, to truly get a full muscle assessment there, to then determine, is this person a great candidate for it?
Yeah.
So I agree. I don't think it's something to pass on. I think, you know, really making sure that you fully understand the process, getting all of the education that you possibly need to understand what you're getting into financially with doing something like the MCELA, and then clarifying with your provider who's doing the MCELA, like, you know, are you 100% sure I'm a good candidate? Is there any chance something else is causing my leakage before you invest in that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So let's do one more. Let's talk about the Enovo shorts. So the Enovo shorts are another fun one. They're a little similar to the MCELA, where it's that electromagnetic energy coming into the pelvic floor to help strengthen, but they're actually implanted in a pair of biker shorts. So yeah. You buy them online. They're about, I think, $400 the last time I looked up.
I think so, yeah. But it's electrical stim, right? There's no, I don't think it's electromagnetic.
Oh. Yep, nope, you're right. Sure. It's I think you're correct. It's electrical stimulation.
Yeah. So we've been using electrical stimulation for pelvic floor for a long, long, long time. And again, this is just innovation at its finest. You know, it's just, you know, trying to come up with better, more innovative products to help people manage their leakage, because, you know, leakage is costly. It's costly with pads, it's costly, you know, on your health, for sure. So people, you know, will avoid working out at the gym if they're afraid they're going to leak. You know, how many patients and clients do we know who will never wear any other color than black yoga pants to the gym because just in case, you know, or they wear the pad just in case, you know? So it has a mental and emotional and physical impact having leakage. So it's exciting to see these products. It really, really is. I don't know, you know, and from my own personal opinion, I would want a product that I felt comfortable in and that I could, you know, use in a way that, you know, I feel like I could just control and manage. So when it comes to the Enovo shorts, that product has a couple of different restrictions. And so you have to stay still when you're using it. And I think you have to stay standing. So, you know, again, who would this particular piece of equipment be helpful for? It'd be somebody who can tolerate standing for a half an hour for a treatment session, or even longer, it might be. And, you know, are they okay with standing still? So, again, the shorts provide electrical stim to appropriate places in those pelvic floor muscles to activate the nerves. And then the idea is that by activating the nerves, it activates those muscles to contract or to be stronger over time.
Right. So, and like you said, so it's a 30-minute session, and it's typically 5 days a week, and it's for 12 weeks.
Oh,
so
that's this right. Is that's right.
12 weeks. So yes. Not only is this, you know, on the expensive side, right, being $400, but mm-hmm. it's a time commitment. And especially if you're a, you know, a younger mom and you're chasing kids around, I don't know many points in my day where I can sit or stand still for 30 minutes, mm-hmm. 5 days a week over the course of, you know, 3 months. So it's not a quick fix by any means. It's definitely a time commitment. It's a financial commitment. But it could work. But if you don't follow the instructions, and this is the tricky part when it comes to the equipment that you just see online, see on TV, is you just sort of buy it. You might read the quick start guide and then you throw them on and you go about it. Well, I have had clients who bought the Enovo shorts, clearly did not fully read the instructions, put them on, and walked around the house, did housework, moving around. This woman walked away with the most sore bum of all time because the shorts were moving and making her glutes contract. So she actually had a really, really sore bum because of the shorts, because she didn't read the instructions properly. So again, not the ANOVA isn't one that I would necessarily pass on, but you got to do it correctly. You have to make sure you're a good fit for it. You're a good candidate. And then follow the instructions. Don't do housework.
Right. And I think, so most of the time, when it comes to the neuromuscular electrical stimulation products, they're geared towards the stress incontinence. So this would not necessarily be as appropriate for urge incontinence. I do know that there are products that are being designed out there, or I can't think of the name right off the top of my head, but it's an electrical stim that you just place in your underwear. So you're not having to wear it as a whole product. And oh my gosh, I can't believe I can't think of it, but it was a female founder, and she developed, and once I say it, you'll be like, oh yeah, I totally know that one. But she's actually developing one for urge incontinence. So again, you know, the ANOVA is, again, more geared towards stress incontinence. And it's actually, I want to say it's been maybe redesigned a little bit to even work for men too, because men have stress incontinence after they have prostate surgery. So again, it's that innovation that's developing. But as physical therapists, we're used to using electrical stim. Like, so say you had knee surgery, and we would put, you know, four small pads around the knee or around the quad to start to kind of wake up the quad muscles. The quad muscles are the muscles on the front of your thigh. So four small pads. But these shorts have pretty significant pad size, and the electrical current is kind of crisscrossing all over the place. So I feel like that's a lot of electrical bang for your buck, so to speak. You know, and I'm not familiar with the product in itself, you know, I don't know if you can turn it up, turn it down, or, you know, or if you kind of graduate up to certain levels like we would if we used regular electrical stim. And I think some of the other products out there are able to do that, like you kind of turn up the intensity. So maybe this is to that, you know, to that same resource, but again, I think, you know, making sure you're screening for being appropriate. So there absolutely has to be a process that a client would call the company, and there absolutely is probably, I'm like 95% sure that there's a screening process to make sure that that's a good fit for the patient, because the company doesn't want this to come back to them. The company wants this product, the patient, to be happy with the product and happy that the money they spent on the product was worth it. So there's got to be a screening process. So again, you know, to people listening out there, you know, do your homework, do your research, you know, make sure that you're talking to the vendors. Definitely do not get this secondhand off of eBay.
Nope. Oh my gosh.
The worst thing to do, you know, it's really just kind of, again, like doing your homework, asking the questions, because it's an investment. And I really applaud, again, technology for developing these things, because, you know, they're, for the most part, they're trying to keep a lot of these products within a reasonable price range, you know, with the exception of the, you know, the chair that we talked about. So I applaud that. But again, you know, everybody's going to be a different fit for it. So not every product is a fit for everybody.
Right. And I think that's a great way to sum it up. So, all right, to summarize our thoughts so far, the vaginal weights definitely can be helpful. Are they 100% necessary? No. The Thighmaster, we're just going to take a pass on that one. I don't think it's ever going away. I think there's going to be new versions of it coming out for the rest of our lives. But for the moment, we're going to take a pass on it. The M-Cella could be a good fit. Just make sure you're being screened properly and do your research. And same with the ANOVA. Could be a good fit for you. A lot cheaper than the M-Cella. A lot more of a time commitment. But do your homework. make sure you feel like you're a great fit, see if your provider thinks you're a great fit. And if you ever have any questions with any of these, go to your provider, talk to a pelvic floor physical therapist, even just go for one appointment just to get one internal exam might be enough for that person to say yes or no. And then you're not wasting money on a bunch of equipment that you might use once and never again.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I honestly think that just kind of talking to a physical therapist or your pelvic floor therapist, we only really touched on such a small number of products that are out there, but we touched on ones that are specific to like different modes of delivery, so to speak. But there are so many good things out there. But again, you want to make sure you're getting the one that's right for you. And it might be more than one that's right for you. But I think talking to somebody that can really help guide you, I think, is the safest and most economical, because you don't want to spend the money on something that you can't return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't want Kegel things returned. So you want to make sure you're making the best purchase for yourself. But thank you. This was great.
So Melissa, if you could leave everyone with one little piece of advice, what would you say is the greatest pelvic floor tool out there right now?
I could go a couple of different ways with this. I think it's your brain.
Ooh. Elaborate, please.
Oh my goodness. I don't think we have time.
Give us the spark notes.
I think it's your brain, because, you know, I've worked with some clients who really don't have a great Kegel. They can't really seem to activate those muscles, but they know what they do. And sometimes working with them and having them imagine the muscles squeezing in their brain actually helps them move forward in their diagnosis and in their situation. So, you know, I think the brain is the most important pelvic floor tool. And then the actual tool that we choose helps just to make that connection from the floor to the brain. And then when all is said and done, we take the tool away, we still have the control from our brain. So
the greatest tool you can have is the one you can't buy.
That's it.
I love it. All right, Melissa, well, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I think the listeners are going to take away some pretty helpful tips moving forward, not even just with the equipment we talked about, but with all equipment that comes on the market, to just take that extra second to really identify whether it's appropriate for them. So thank you so much. This was wonderful. Everyone, I hope you have an incredible day. Thank you for listening to the Strong and Beautiful podcast. I hope today's episode fueled you to start the conversation with your provider so you can finally get started on your wellness journey. Stay beautiful.